Obviously, you made a right turn, because here's the wrong kind of podcast.
Thank you, Bull.
Thank you for whispering, Bull.
Yeah. Derek, tell us what you brought today.
I brought a box full of freeze-dried goodies.
I was talking about the man sitting to your right, but sure.
Oh, that guy. That's Michael Hall. I just learned his last name, too, yeah, when we asked him about it.
I asked you his last name yesterday, and you're like, you know, that's I don't know.
That's Michael. That's we ran into each other because whether people pay attention or not on the regular show, I had mentioned that I was doing the trying to help the veterans thing with the woodwork. Whoa, yeah. I'm getting jittery there.
First show?
Hitting stuff. Yeah. Helping veterans in my woodworking shop, like help them build something or help them rebuild something or just, you know, give them something to do. Mm-hmm. Well, it turned out that Michael was the first one that I kind of got connected with to do that. And we're working on this big giant, well, you've seen it, big giant table.
It's a cool table, by the way.
It's very large. So we kind of stripped it down to its bones, building it back, adding some features. So that's kind of how we got connected. And then I find out this guy's been all over the world.
Yeah.
He's seen some crazy shit. And now he makes candy also.
It's nice to meet you, Michael. What do you think about the awesome table raising and lowering deal? Because, you know, if you liked it, it was my idea. If not, it was Derek's.
No, it was a great idea.
The newest one.
Is that what you guys decided to go with, or did you change already?
Yeah, we're doing the all thread thing.
But now you got to buy multiple drills so everybody can do it at once.
Yeah.
Just leave it on top of it.
You can buy those Harbor Freight $20 drills.
Yeah.
Be cool.
It's gonna be cool, and especially, I don't know if I've talked to you about it, but he's kind of a table game guy.
I've heard about it.
We're gonna make this. So people obviously don't know, this is a 4 foot wide and 10 foot long table.
Big
ass. That's how big the top is, right? So we've got everything beefed up in the base, and we're gonna make it to where it's adjustable up and down. But then also we're gonna put this rail system on the side, to where he can have different types of scenarios for games or whatnot. And you say, like, I don't know. I don't play games. We'll just say, like, the demon's core. Grab that and slide it on the table.
Demon's
and,
core.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Michael, tell us about the demon's core. What is what is that?
Yeah.
It sounds like like a game I want to play, though.
Yeah, it's dirty.
So you're new around here?
Yeah, we've lived in the local area about 3 years now, since 2021.
And you're a veteran, a teacher, a crafter, a game player. You're all the things.
I like to stay busy, but, you know, they all kind of bleed into one of each other. So, so I do go to school for myself. So I'm going through a master's program for organizational management and leadership.
Yeah, this crazy dude, I learned this about him, crazy. He loves to try to take loads of people in one place and figure out ways to make them work together.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible to me. But that's what he goes to school for.
Sounds like a core value of the military.
Yeah.
I've got to ask you a question, or favor, actually. Can you make that mic uncomfortably close to your face?
Is that good?
That's great, actually. Thank you. That's how I learned to describe it. Make it uncomfortable. Yeah. That's how it works the best.
We got to go over the top around here. That's why mine's blue, because I like the blue in my face.
I feel like a country singer with this close.
So think about it like that and talk to it like that, you're talking to your wife.
Baby, lock the door. That's
exactly. That's exactly how I look at my wife like that over there. How you doing? So where'd you grow up at? I feel like this is your dating profile, man.
Right? Yeah. So... born and raised out of Arizona, Phoenix.
Arizona, huh?
And then, you know, life happens, parents separate.
Yeah, I've been there.
Dad went to Idaho, mom stayed in Arizona. Went to Idaho when I was 14, kind of went from this, like, fight or flight experience to structured experience.
Dad was structured, mom was a Rolling Stone?
Yeah, I mean, mom was just trying to survive.
My mom was definitely a Rolling Stone, so it's okay, I understand.
Yeah, so, you know, just largely experienced in, you know, seeing two different sides of life for parents, and then moved there, met my now wife when I was actually probably that year, so 14.
Found her in Idaho?
Yep.
Oh, really? You met when you was that young?
Yeah, and then we started dating about 2 years later. But yeah, we...
You don't have to lie. It was probably before then.
No, it was pretty close to that. So, and we've been together since. We got 3 kids, 2 boys, 1 girl.
That's cool.
So, yeah, going on 17 years this year.
And you ended up in the military somewhere in there.
Yeah, so I graduated in 08, and then, you know, like any other lost soul kind of tries to find some structure and applied for the Air Force, went through the program for the ASBAB, the delayed entry program, waited, went to basic sometime in August, and then graduated in October. So, and then from there, I, in the process, I got attached to this program because I was, they considered open it, like open jobs, so like open mechanical.
Yeah.
And I got slotted for an open mechanical position in basic. They're like, hey, there's this position where you apply for it. If you get it, you do 2 years. When you're done, you go any job in the Air Force. And I was like, wow, that sounds way better than what I was going to do. So I applied for it. It turned out to be the Air Force Honor Guard out of Arlington.
Yeah.
So I was there for about 6 months before I got injured, and then I got reclassed into logistics. So I was air transportation troop for 9 years. So
you've been there a while.
Yeah. Dang. So just logistics side was 9 years. And then the last 3.5, 4 years of my tenure with the Air Force, I worked for the Inspector General's office.
Oh, really? So you was in there quite a while. Does that make you a career guy? How long you got to be there to be a career guy?
20 years.
You're just a little short of that.
Yeah. So, I got notified of so I was trying for kind of like backup. Got my bachelor's in Middle Eastern studies, studied the economics, language, policy, you name it. And I was trying to go as a military attaché overseas, which would have probably put me in the Middle East. And so in that process, you apply and you have to go through a medical. So they go through all your records. And in that process, my primary care doctor was like, hey, you seem broke, like medically wise in your records. Let's do a physical. So went through that process of just going through checks and balances for, you know, if I can actually do it. And they determined that I'm going to have to go to a board, which is essentially a bunch of doctors, and they look at your record and say if they're going to try to med board you or not officially. Yeah. So I got med boarded officially. I didn't fight it. And then
for us non, what's that med board mean?
So
get kicked.
You got to meet a standard of readiness.
Oh, okay.
And so if you can't meet that standard of readiness, then they have to determine if they can waive it.
I'm pretty sure I'd get med board.
So. Me too, probably now.
I limped walking in here. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. So then after the military, you just.
Yeah. So after, I found out, I was like, all right, you know, what do I want to do? So I was like, all right, I want land. I want to be able to build something. And, so I was like, that's the direction I'm going.
Yeah.
So me and my wife just happened to come up to this area and visit one of her sisters who had lived in the area for her birthday. And right down the road, there's this house for sale with 24 acres. And we, you know, put a bid in for it. They accepted and we went through the process.
There's several of you around here. And I say you people. That I'm fascinated that you've landed here. I can't figure out why, but then, you know, I think I short sell us on this deal, Derek, because I was walking out of work today thanking the Lord for everything I had. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I question why the hell you landed here. You know, I mean, it's a pretty decent place, but I'm always fascinated. Michael lands here from the military because he was looking for a place and you accidentally landed here. Kyle has got a place in Independence, couple places. Mike Golden, another listener, another vet.
I was
dart on the board kind of a deal.
I was fascinated from some of the stories that he's told me that, because I've always been fascinated with people in the military. That's why I wanted to help veterans and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But of course, I'm always fascinated a lot because of movies, but just because the people that I know that are in the special forces, like the SEALs and whatnot, those dudes are like a special breed. Mm-hmm. And Michael, I think it's from a logistics standpoint, got to work with some of them, right?
Yeah, I got to work with SEAL teams, Green Beret Battalion, you know, companies, and let's see what else.
And you're doing, what, you like did like prepping runs and stuff for them to make sure they had what they had to do to...
Yeah, so like logistically for the Air Force, since, you know, it's much different than the rest of the military. The Air Force's military is completely different than the Army. And but for us, like, you know, You learned a skill essentially, and you know there's many aircraft that the Air Force owns that are cargo aircraft, and they gotta be able to move things logistically. So they require people to do that,
right,
on the plane and on the ground. I got into it just at a chance because I had to get reclassed, and it turned out to be a lot of fun. In your early stages as a young airman, you're kind of in this like 9 to 5 almost, but it's, there's three shifts, so everything's 8 hours. So you pick between day swings and nights, and then you build the experience you need, and from there you kind of get trained into more in-depth logistics requirements that, you know, these units pay money for. So they're paying an entire MAGCOM, which is a major command, to handle the logistics aircraft wise for them to go from one place to another. And so, you know, money moves and you get trained up. And one of the requirements is you got to do a joint inspection where we go out, or someone like what I did was we'd go out to a unit and they'd have everything, and we'd look through all their stuff. And then we determine what hazmat they have, what signature service they need, and then kind of build out the cargo from there, put it on a load plan, center balance the load plans, make sure everything, like the plane isn't going to crash, give it to the air crew.
So you're saying you couldn't just put it on pallets and throw the shit in the plane?
No, I mean, you could. We've done it. But that comes with experience. And like, So like to give you an example, when I was in Africa in 2019, we had to do a quick run like that where, yeah, you're not, you know, you're just getting bare averages of weights and putting it on a piece of paper. And
what are those guys doing while you're doing that? They just stand there like glaring at you, or they're just prepping somewhere else, and then as soon as you're done, they get on the plane and go?
Well, if it's a non-combat movement, then yeah, there's just loads of soldiers around waiting for something to get found wrong so they can fix it so that they can leave on time.
Hurry up and wait, huh?
Yeah. It is. And, you know, usually there's a lieutenant or a captain running around for the colonel that is in charge of the unit and trying to get everything set up to where they can leave on time. Because either they're going home or they're going to. And
so did you do any of the load plans or whatever for a combat mission then that was hot, or whatever the word is for it?
Yeah. So, I mean, we treat, like when you're in a AOR, all of it is treated it like that, you know, in that sense of... security and urgency, but you know, when you're stateside, it's kind of like, you know, very casual, just trying to meet those times of, you know, aircraft takes off on time, it hits its destination,
right?
You just keep moving.
So the part of the training is just make sure you can do that under pressure, or if there's not pressure, it all needs to run the same way.
I mean, we had your CRME, which is your essentially like your Seaburney, your anything chemical related, you have to get in, you know, full chem suits and masks and drive a forklift. Drive a 6K low tonner, stuff
like
that.
Sounds like a good time, yeah.
When it's 110 degrees out and you're in a full rubber suit.
It's terrible.
Ugh.
You smell so bad.
Sounds juicy.
Yeah, it does sound juicy. So then you got out of all that and said, you know what? I'm going to take random pieces of candy and just dry the shit out of it.
Yeah, so we got here, kind of everything was bare bones. There was no fencing, so I had to learn how to put fence up.
It's like Green Acres, essentially, the TV show. Yes. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, you need to have AI make you an intro song for your little farm out there.
Hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, we got animals, started getting fencing up, you know, getting water. We had loads of support from the neighbors.
I got a tour of this compound the other day. It's cool as hell.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's got a sheep. Name Bessie, right? Something like that?
No, Winnie. She was born on Halloween.
I like to call her Bessie. I met her for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Two ducks and some chickens.
Yeah, and some very large dogs.
Very large dogs. Ducks didn't want anything to do with me.
What kind of dogs you got?
Anatolian.
I'm not even sure what the hell that is.
It is a dog from the mountains of Turkey.
Is that a big long-haired thing?
That's the Pyrenees, long hair, fluffy. Yeah. I also got one of those.
Okay.
And I got one that's mixed with both.
What's the attitude of those big dogs?
The
attitude of those big dogs. Is it like the opposite of that thing you just met in the house?
Yes.
Yeah. So when I met him. Yes.
Real chill, but know that I can kick your ass kind of a thing.
Yeah. He wanted to be like on my lap, like this giant dog. I get in the fence. And he's like, ooh, new person, love me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he's, you're only going to get those reactions when I'm around. If That's true. I've had my buddy drop his dog off, and they're not
like that.
No, not at all. They're like, you can leave the dog, but you must go.
Draw the line.
Not like the rat terrier in the house. It's like, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to make a lot of noise.
Whether I can or not.
Yeah. Here, look at my hair. It's standing up.
Did her hair stand up when we went in there?
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
she was full alert.
His dog literally will grow a mohawk out of her spine.
Yeah.
Down the back. And that's when you know shit's getting ready to hit the fan.
Yeah, there's getting ready to be a toy kit. Total ass kicking.
Getting ripped up.
So tell me about this. You got a whole bucket of stuff over here, man.
Yeah, so we started a business. Originally it was with livestock, and then we had some predators, and it took out all of our livestock. And so, we had 12 sheep, and it went down to one.
Damn. Coyotes out there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so we got coyotes, and then we had a young dog who just kind of was overeager and got where she wasn't supposed to be. And
oh, okay.
That's, you know, that kind of like took us the last two out. Wow. And yeah, so it was, you know, I drove all the way down to Texas to grab this flock. When I was stationed in San Antonio, I'd drive to Houston to where this couple's at, Becky and Mike, and they're in their 70s, and they're still trying to make it work, and they have health issues. So I was like, all right. So I was out there just fixing fence for them. Said, hey, teach me what you know about this breed. I'll fix fence. So for about a month, every weekend, I drive and do that for 2 days.
Damn, to San Antonio?
From San Antonio. He's about 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're from Dallas at the time.
I was stationed in San Antonio to go to Houston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was like, damn, son, that's a trip every weekend from here.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so... like, you know, they're just very appreciative, and they gave me one of the dogs, the Anatolian, and her name was Delta, so we kept the name. And then we I got out and moved, and then 6 months later I drove down with my truck and trailer and loaded up a whole flock and came back up.
And you're talking about sheep flock, right?
Yeah.
That's what they call.
Yeah, we had Barbados black bellies. They're like, they look like deers mixed with a sheep.
Why did you choose the sheep over pigs? What's the draw on the sheep? Where are we getting benefit of that?
It was just the, you know, level of experience and, you know, the amount of income and capital you need to be able to generate.
He was lonely.
Yeah, the equipment necessary to handle cattle or even, you know, anything like that. Yeah. So they're much easier to manage.
I know if you like shaved them and got wool off of them, or how's that work or anything?
No, they're strictly for meat. Like there's actually a large population of is Mexican and Chinese that just buy them.
And you've only got one right now.
And it just went straight down to one. It was terrible. So I kind of had
maximum security now.
Yeah, I had a pivot. And so I have a bunch of assets. So I sold one of my assets and we reinvested into this freeze dryer that handles like 50-pound freeze drying loads of produce at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see, I thought it was just like Skittles and stuff like that, but so oh my God, there's so much more you put through there.
Throw like chunks of broccoli in and freeze dry it.
Yep. Yeah.
And then it's just a dry ass broccoli, and you add water to it, and
boom. I mean, you can season it beforehand. You know, we've tried it where, you know, you take a ranch packet and you put it in there, and then you freeze dry the process.
Yeah.
And it pops out and tastes just like that.
And so I buy this broccoli and I'd put it in a pan and put water back in it. And I'm,
it reconstitute. I mean, it probably wouldn't taste very good. Like usually you eat it.
Just eat it
as it's, yeah, dried. Right, yeah.
Like a snack.
What kind of nutrition do you lose during that process?
Not a lot.
Really?
The shelf life's like 20 years.
This has got all of my prepper things just like fired up.
Yeah.
I've food. Mostly am a lead and beans guy.
Mm-hmm.
I figure if I can't shoot it, I can cook it in a pot.
That's
I tell you what, if it goes to shit, they're going to know where I'm at because there's going to be a lot of farting. That guy, well, first of all, I'm going to be naked because that's my plan. You ever heard my plan?
No, but naked's good because nobody wants to rob you.
Exactly. All I'm going to be wearing is my boots and my holster.
Are you going to shit yourself? Or is that just an emergency situation?
It depends on what we're doing.
Right.
It's a tactical advantage. You understand that.
Infrared.
Oh, infrared.
There you go. That, you know, like carbon monoxide.
They're going to think I'm a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
With Doc Martin boots.
Yes.
That's a stylish son of a bitch.
And carrying a sidearm.
You weren't there the other day. Little sidebar. Sorry. Yancey and I found a turd out at LeClaire Park.
I heard this, the story through the post.
Unless you walked your dogs, Do you walk your logs at LeClaire Park?
Logs?
Dude, there's a Sasquatch at LeClaire Park.
I didn't
either
see
that or an animal with some problems.
I didn't see your gray dog's droppings, but I'm assuming it's got some heft to it.
Yeah, no, they're just massive piles of yeah. just dung everywhere.
So what happened to the goose? Like he blew his ass out or something? That
no,
on the
dude,
sidewalk?
I'm not. No, I'm talking like this thing had a circumference, man. Like I'm thinking an inch and a half across.
Whoa.
And it was like 12 inches long.
What? So it wasn't obviously wasn't a bird.
Ask Yancey. I'm not lying, dude. It was it a
him?
Massive. Was it Yancey?
It wasn't Yancey, was it?
No, because I warned him about it and he almost stepped in it.
Inch and a half.
Dude, we can go out there and look at it.
I mean, I might have to.
It's still out there, I'm sure, because they ain't mowed yet.
Get a picture posted.
Wow.
I actually thought about it. We talked about it for a little bit. We're talking about it right now. I mean, it's been coming up for a week now.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good stuff.
It was as big as this Empire State Building right there. Maybe a little bit longer, but about that same size around.
An animal was having an issue that day.
It is impressive. It's solid, too. Oh, jeez. But,
solid.
So, yeah, I'm into this freeze-dried food deal. We need to check some of this out later on after we get off this deal.
I thought it was just candy, but, man, you guys do a lot of candy bars. Like, there's Twix and Snickers in there. I'm definitely going to try one of them.
Yeah, there's Taffy's, Twix, Snickers, Skittles.
So, like, a ribeye, cook this ribeye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Throw it in this magic machine you got. Boom. I've got me a
freeze-dried steak.
Freeze-dried steak. And then later on, I'm hanging out, just crunch it off and start eating like a cracker. Because I've ate some freeze-dried.
I don't think that would be good at all.
I think that's how it works, though.
It is. That's exactly how it works.
Have you done a steak?
No, but, you know,
I'm gonna buy one.
That's probably got to happen.
Well,
yeah,
it's so easy to do.
Pork chops first. Yeah. I had some freeze-dried ice cream, and it's like, okay, this tastes like ice cream.
You did, Michael, ice cream sandwiches, right?
Yeah, we did ice cream sandwiches. We're actually going to be doing another one right before it starts getting really hot.
But what was it? But they melt, right? Or they don't melt?
No, they don't. So what you want to do is,
prep
them, throw them in the freezer, make sure that they're still cold, and then once the machine's ready, you just put them straight into the machine, press the button, and it immediately starts pulling the moisture out.
That's what I ate was a ice cream sandwich. And I was like, this is strange. It crunched kind of like a cracker. Yep. I mean, just like any food would. I mean, it tastes, I'm not going to lie, it didn't taste as good as an ice cream sandwich right out the machine, you know, or box or whatever. Right. But it was still ice cream.
In the machine, it looks like he showed it to me the other day, it's bigger, bigger than I thought it was going to be.
It's a large laundry machine.
And it's got this giant, because obviously there's
cool
a lot of pressure.
Like, the weird things like Willy Wonka type stuff. You know?
It's got like an inch and a quarter thick acrylic lid on the front.
Yeah,
like there's some pressure going on in that thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a large industrial vacuum that it comes with, and that's when it pulls the nitrogen through the air into the food, and that's what begins that process.
But it looks like some big medical machine is what it looks like.
How long does it take to freeze dry an item?
So fruits and vegetables are longer just because of how much moisture is involved. Candies, a few hours, anywhere between 3 to 6 hours for candy.
So I was trying to understand this earlier. Let's say you got Twix over here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you buy the Twix and then chop it up into some kind of...
Yeah, we just chop it up into sizes that would be easier to put into a package can try to get a full Twix into a full package.
Oh, okay. Because I've seen some of that stuff. You make some of that stuff, like the honey bee thing or whatever it is.
Yeah, so we take the bit of honeys and we, you know, cut those up to the sizes because everything, you know, balloons up as it starts to heat. And
oh, is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's
huge.
So like, you know, people who have issues with teeth and whatnot.
It's huge.
It doesn't stick to your teeth. It just kind of literally just begins to melt in your mouth.
Salt water taffy, you could do that in there.
Yep.
Oh, that would be pretty good because I can't eat salt water
taffy.
You just
got to stay away
toothless.
From heavy oils and honey because, you know, honey's going to last 3,000 years instead of 20. But it's just the chemical makeup. Like certain things can't penetrate. That vacuum can't penetrate.
Yeah, they can't.
And and that's the thing. That food in them packages will last 20 years.
Yeah, they last forever. If you get the packaging correct and you're able to seal it up, they last forever.
So, like the Snickers and the Twix, that's not really chocolate anymore, right? So it's not going to melt?
So that, yeah, so while it's going through the process, chocolate specifically likes to boil. So it's literally boiling over whatever caramel or, you know, if it's, you know, okay. Three Musketeers, marshmallow.
Because the pressure is probably lower in the boiling point mm-hmm. of everything, right?
And then everything okay. kind of expands because of the vacuum process. That's why they all blow up yeah. into the...
Can you see into this thing while it's
yeah.
going on?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You need like a time lapse of that. That'd be neat.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun to watch, and it's even more so, like, I feel like a mad scientist, because if my wife doesn't find it on YouTube on, like, you know, settings, I have to do it myself, and so I have to go do like a trial and error if I mess it up.
And you was telling me you've had some stuff fail, like you haven't quite got some figured out, right?
Yeah, we did sugar babies, and I didn't have it in there long enough heat wise for the, you know, the ingredient to, like,
sugar babies. You know, that's like the little mm-hmm. Skittle looking
yeah,
one.
Yeah, kind of like a jelly bean almost. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
They are.
If you like sugar.
Hard on your teeth again.
I love
sugar. No, because everything, that's a great thing. Is,
well, I mean beforehand.
Yeah, beforehand it is, yeah. But afterwards, like, it just
poof.
Dissolves.
Have you ate any freeze-dried items?
You guys should be just eating some candy. Right now. Try it.
I haven't tried the
We'll try it in a little bit, because it'll sound awful on here.
Yeah. I've never tried the, whatever the word is for it, like the candy bar type stuff.
Oh, you've tried freeze-dried stuff, though?
Like Skittles and the really, like,
yeah, I think I had a bag,
Jolly Rancher. Sour Skittles. Those are good.
Freeze-dried Jolly Rancher?
Yeah. They puff into these, like, very soft, like, puffy balls.
You
just put it in your mouth, my man. You just put it
put
in
them
your
in
mouth.
There.
That's Derek's thing. Wow. Okay. So, how about this veteran deal? What we got going on here? What are we doing?
So, my father-in-law, Bob, is going through this process and trying to get community involvement.
I just randomly met.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
But that's Bob. Yep. Bob is very good about going out and talking to people mm-hmm. and just meeting people.
Bob is a talker.
He's a good networker. Really is.
Is Bob a military guy too?
Yeah, he was in the military as well. He was Army.
He's seen some shit, didn't he? He kind of doesn't... Yeah.
I mean, the guy
talk a whole lot about it.
The guy kind of went through the Cold War era, and then was in and out of the, I think in and out of the Guard, the Idaho Guard, and then he went to Iraq during that, you know, while he was under orders with them, and he's kind of been doing a lot of stuff his whole career. He was a tanker at one point.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, he's a hell of a networker, and he's been basically the opposite side of what I'm doing. I'm just the guy with the shop that knows about wood. Bob's getting people, like recruiting people for like donations and like funding and
So he's working with town, the city, and I think Independence as well as ICC and CCC.
Fort County, I think, even.
Yeah, he's just trying to get something going for community members to participate with veterans and veteran members to kind of go through a decompression period if they need it.
There was a veteran that lived across the street. He's since moved, but I believe he was Marines, what his hat said. But he made pens. He'd be up in the middle of the night.
Pens, P-E-N?
Yeah, like writing pens.
I bought one from him.
And he would turn. He had a lathe out there. I'd go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning. He'd be out there. I don't know how long he'd been out there, you know. He'd make pens. He gave us a pen. I don't know where
the hell it's at. What's cool about that is... they can literally use the tiniest piece of scrap that most people would throw away and turn it into something cool. Like, I could have loaded that dude up with scraps.
Right here's one of them.
Yeah.
He made that pen.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he turned this part, and then he had the kit for the rest of it, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, mine was green, and it had a deer on the lapel area.
If he would say, if you go deer hunting, he said he'd buy the antler. You know, from me, if I wanted to, I'm like, I'd give you some. He didn't get to see that. I wouldn't let him have that one up there. But that's cool. So what do you do with your veterans that you're trying to, and what's the criteria? Like, do they have to be having some issues or just hanging out?
I know there's going to be a lot of bureaucratic stuff involved in this entire process, especially if the VA
wants to get
involved.
Because he's related to you, basically volunteered you.
Yeah,
to be the first one at least to work with me, right?
Yeah. He was like, hey, I got this guy, Derek. He has a wood shop.
Just take your table up there and let him tear it apart.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. Like, you know, I want to see this process. And so I was just blown away by Derek's setup. Like, he's got so much going on.
It's like a shop teacher.
Yeah.
Weird shop teacher.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, yeah, he's just, you know, trying to use...
Awkward.
Derek's craft and be able to, you know, normalize it for other veterans to, you know, either pick up the craft themselves or just participate, you know, get them out of the house, get them out of there.
Bob had mentioned something to me the last time I talked to him that, because I know there's different ranges of things that veterans suffer from, what, you know, PTSD. Mm-hmm. I know that term, that acronym is probably overused a lot of times, or used in the wrong way, but he was telling me some things that I hadn't even realized. So you have to be careful. Let's say I did a class, right, for veterans only, did a class, we're going to build something right over the weekend, and you get six guys in there, right? I go in there and be like, all right, boys, this is what we're doing first. Kick on the table saw. Well, the loud noise, you know, you could have somebody that like reacts really badly to sudden loud noises. And if you don't have anybody around there that kind of knows what's going on, you know, and help the guy out, that could turn out bad.
Yeah, it's a de-escalation period of like, you know, I had it when I got back from my deployments, especially when you're getting mortared a lot and there's artillery involved or there's small arms fire.
He was saying some of these bigger donors that he's trying to work with, I won't mention specific names, but they're going to require somebody that's trained in that type of
to have a crisis
therapy
response
or whatever
therapist around
there, like not involved in the class but just a person to be there. So it's pretty serious deal.
Yeah, it allows, you know, you kind of want to hit all marks, especially if you have somebody that's going through that, whether or not there's another veteran there or not, you know, they may not be qualified.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just because you have likeness of experience.
Yeah, just a good old boy, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that helps. It helps when you have somebody that's gone through similar experiences as you. It really does. But, you know, just to have somebody there that is picking up other signs that maybe, you know, that veteran doesn't see.
Right. So, yeah, we're still in the infant stages. Obviously, Michael's kind of the guinea pig. It's definitely nothing official yet, but I did get a local sawmill donated a whole bunch of wood.
I think there's a metric ton of shit there.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to be utilizing that for guys that don't have like a table pre-done already, kind of like Michael did.
Yeah.
If they just want to be, hey, I want to make an end table for my wife for her sewing stuff or whatever. Like, come on, brother. Yeah. Go pick it out, and we'll start.
You know, I'm sure with that process as well. Like, you know, veterans, they'll kind of vet themselves out if they don't want to be in that environment, and so you probably get some veterans that are pretty motivated on, like, you know, they know the environment that they're going to be.
So I guess I could have asked you that. Do you think it'd be more like some that'll want to maybe learn about it, but maybe not necessarily do all the hands-on stuff until they feel confident in it versus somebody that's like, nope, I'm going to jump in there and do it kind of thing.
Yeah, that's all going to be individualized for who you're going to, you know, meet the person, figure out what their interests are, build out that rapport and relationship, and then from there kind of figure out what their goals are and see, you know, where you can match them up.
That's something I got to work with people like you on, like, because I know a lot of weird things about a lot of weird things as far as wood. But sometimes the way my brain works, as far as me being a teacher, I kind of skip around a lot because my brain goes faster than my mouth, so I kind of skip over things sometimes. So some people, and I'm not accusing anybody, but some people will say, oh, I can do that, let me do it, and they do something very dangerous. You know, like,
yeah, there's a
I don't want that
period
to happen either.
Yeah, there's gonna be a learning period, and I think any veteran, you know, they've all been trained in a similar systematic way,
right,
where, you know, you go through a safety briefing beforehand and then you figure out, you know, what your tools are, you figure out if you can operate those tools,
you know, or, what,
you know, and then you go from there and you'd be like, all right, you can operate the tools, let's go and see what you can do with them, and you put eyes on it and watch them do it, all right, they look like they're doing it safe, and then you move to the next objective.
You know what we're gonna do? I gotta move a dartboard that I hung up here at grandma's dorm room, right?
Yeah,
we're gonna have a safety briefing
before
we rehang the dartboard.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
That'd be wonderful, I'm sure.
It's going to be fantastic.
So I need to know more about this table that we're building. Demon Lord or whatever it was game or play on this. What's going on with this table? Because I'm a nerd, man. I've always wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons.
He loves this shit.
Okay, so I do play Dungeons and Dragons.
I got to play it like one time.
No.
Even though a lot of times we have a group of guys, like if they start talking about like Star Wars or something, he's always like, nerd! But he wants to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, Star Wars is different, man.
do you mean?
You guys talk about some really nerd shit, man. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yes, please.
So I'm currently getting into this, like, it's probably the most sophisticated. Yeah.
It's okay. We don't talk right here.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens.
One of the games is probably one of the hardest ones out there. Warhammer.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so Warhammer 40K, it's, you know,
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Is that a board game?
There's a video game too.
It's a strategic game that you build out a arena or some type of skirmish site, and then you put two teams, you know, two armies on both sides, and you go out. It's kind of like Advanced Risk, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so that between, you know, Axis and Allies.
I remember that when I was a kid. I never really played it much.
We got that too. I got a buddy who's got it, and he's gonna bring it over. And
that's cool. So it's an old game, man.
The table we stained green, right? It's like grass as a base, mm-hmm. and they're gonna like paint.
Kind of reminds me of a card table.
It really does. They're gonna paint like scenes and mountain ranges.
Yeah,
and
gonna take like 4x4 plywood boards, and we're gonna completely deck them out and get them set up to where we can have like different environments on the table.
It'll look like the map of Middle Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Shire and all that.
And those boards, like I said, they'll be interchangeable because we're going to make a rail system to where we need the Dungeon's Keep. They'll be able to slide that on the table, you know, and have a different scenario or whatever.
Addition, kind of like build out a little bit without going too far.
And this is all going to be like your place hanging out.
Yeah, it's gonna
guys
be
coming
gonna
over.
Be on my second floor at my barn house.
The compound.
Yeah, the compound.
What's your 2H? Is that what it's?
Yeah, 2H acres. Yeah,
2H acres. Is that two halls?
Yeah, it was just a mixture between like wordplay. Like I think at one point it was like a harvest and hall, which was clever because
bad.
Yeah, and then you got the two. You know, me and my wife.
Harvest and hall makes me want a latte. Mm. It makes me want to like come to your. Like a roadside place.
Yeah. Or like just have like a outdoor venue area from like a little cafe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm digging it.
Pumpkin spice there. Yeah.
The name of this podcast was really shitty for the first 3 months and I changed the name of it. So it was called Heartland Review.
Heartland Review.
That sounds like an AM radio station.
Isn't Heartland a TV show about horses?
Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you could find out how much the red winter wheat and the pork bellies are.
Yes.
I was like, this is the shittiest name ever. And after about, I don't know, 3 seconds of it, I was like, I really got to change the name of this shit. And then it went through a whole thing, which I'm not going to get into for the 740th time.
That's funny. So tell me again where you sell the candy and stuff currently?
So we do we do through our phone, email, but like my wife got a page up going and people can put orders through there and we'll deliver.
Like Facebook page?
Yeah. Actually, I got it right on me, the name of it.
And an actual website page too? Or
yeah, it's I think it's the Instagram, but I know let's see, 2hacres.2023. That's the at that it goes for.
2H.
That's the Instagram.
Yeah, TWOH dot acres.
Is that on a card?
Yeah.
I'm going to need that later because I'm already
already lost.
So, going back to the game real quick. It's just large scale warfare essentially and tactics and stuff that.
Yeah, sorry, skipping back to candy again.
Hey, candy's a great thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Eat freeze-dried candy while you're murdering orcs and whatever you're doing.
Well, we do, so the college has improv on Mondays, and I bring that and sell there, too. So.
You know what? I think I could slay at improv.
No, dude. Let's not slay.
You're talking
improv, like acting stuff?
Yeah. So
we need to do an episode
where Derek would probably be really into that.
Derek goes up there and does it, just tries it.
I'm totally not the type of person that could ever get on stage and do any of that.
Could you watch a show?
I watch a lot of shows because my daughter are in them.
Well, so we got a live show next month.
Yeah. Where at?
At the college. At the Spencer Round Theater. Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Is it just
veterans?
No. It's college students, community members.
I got to get my daughter hooked up with your bunch because she's singing. You know, man, she sings and acts.
She's a great singer.
I got to get my buddy Chris on because he's a director for the program and he's the one that's...
Is he at the college?
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Otten.
He's the director of the theater, right?
Yep.
Okay, we know who he is. Yeah. All right.
So, and he's building up for the next semester, and they're getting, we're building a two story stage on the stage. Yeah. So it's gonna be pretty pretty nice. So.
My daughter's all into the local theater stuff. She hasn't done the college in a few years, but she's independence. You know, she used to do Caulfield here, and she does Tyro. She's waiting to see now if she's gonna sing national anthem at the ball game here in a little while. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, she went and tried out to sing national anthem at the Tulsa Drillers.
Wow.
So yeah, that's really cool.
Yep.
She's good.
We'll brag about her on another show.
Yes.
This is not the Lene
sing. I'm telling you. Put Derek on a stage
and
tell me a situation and put somebody else up there with me. I think I could do it.
I mean, so essentially once you kind of learn the fundamentals of improv, how, you know, a scene kind of takes place between two people and...
What don't you do, man? Military?
Yeah.
You do some veteran stuff. You're going to school. Apparently you're a theater dude.
Yeah, I help out. That's my part-time job right now is I help him. Mm. I'm kind of like a foreman almost. I build all his props and, you know, whatever artistic that idea he wants, I just kind of, you know, make it a reality. And
I would also like to do that. It sounds fun. Sorry, I'm trying to make this about me.
You do anything about workbenches?
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you guys should totally check it out. Like, when we do a live show, just come out. But
yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can check it out. You can bring your friend in if you want. Yeah. More the merrier. Anybody that's got anything to talk about, we'll take.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got a lot to talk about.
Except for a couple of really far right and left groups. We really don't want to talk to them. But other than that, we'll talk to everybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so just the build out of, you know, improv and... Once you learn the basics, you said the word keyword slay. So, like, usually an audience member would
that's
like
a keyword.
So, if you know, that someone said slay, you would have to try to build.
Oh, use that?
Somehow. Use that and create something out of
I think I could do it.
You don't get to plan beforehand, and the other person has to react off you. And the other key thing to always do is say yes in improv.
Come up with dumb shit on camera when I push record, you know, off the top of my head.
Yeah. So, if he told you to, like, cut your leg off, you'd have to pretend to cut your leg off.
Oh yeah,
you can say no. Like
this is awesome.
Yeah,
like, I've always wanted to try something like that.
I'm telling you, come out.
I didn't know you had the theater geek in you, man.
I don't know. I've never even been in theater, but that sounds fun as hell. Like, try to cut your leg off while also ordering a sandwich at Subway. Like, go.
Yeah,
sounds fun to me.
There's different games like the dating game where everybody acts like a different character and. The person that is, you know, hosting the data game is the person looking for a match.
Whose line is it anyway,
pretty much. And then, you know, Gibberish Detective, where you can't say real words. You have to just make up words as you're, like, animating entire scene.
I got to get into this.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
It's a lot of fun.
So we're about to
wrap. What I need is something else to do.
Yeah, no shit. You know anything about workbenches?
A little bit.
So before we wrap it up, man, is there anything you forgot that you want to talk about?
No, I mean, we sell directly everybody to Coffeeville, and we'll deliver too. So,
and this bottom one down here is where they're going to find you on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook, and just shoot us a message on Messenger, and you know,
I'm going to put this in the show notes for the Instagram and this bottom Facebook. Do you want your phone numbers on there? No,
you know,
got it. Yeah. For I'll a small donation to WKOPodcast.com, I will provide your phone number.
I'll have to be sure and like your page because I'm pretty sure I haven't yet.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my wife out here. We're going to check out some Twix before our next podcast that happens in 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Awesome, Michael. Thanks for coming by and telling us about
your stuff.
I want to play Dungeons & Dragons. I never got to when I was a kid because none of my friends are all too cool, man.
Your friends were cool enough. That's what it sounds like.
Well, when I first come to town... I got hooked up with some good nerds, man. I was starting to get really some cool stuff going. And then I started hanging out with the kids that drank beer and smoked weed. So, you know, I was cool. And then there was a couple guys, but I couldn't play because, you know, the rest of them didn't want to. So I got screwed.
My thing is I've ignored it because it sounds so complicated to get started.
Like I said, I played once and it seemed pretty cool, man.
It's intimidating you? Is that what
it
is?
Yeah, yeah.
Just an intimidation factor?
Yeah. I'm like a small, frail child.
You're afraid of nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nerds around the world, man.
Mm-hmm.
Elon, Zuckerberg.
Very true.
Nerds around the world.
I feel like that should be a parody song from Girls Around the World. Nerds around the world.
All right. Well, thank you for coming by. Like I already said, go over to WKOPodcast.com and check it out. Leave some cash. And good review. See you guys later.